Welcome to the Daily Platform, sponsored by Bob Jones University. Following the singing of a hymn by the student body, Dr. Steve Pettit, BJU president, will bring a message entitled, Dealing with Life's Anxieties, from Philippians chapter 4.
I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to the book of Philippians chapter 4. Those of you that are preparing for the ministry, one of the things you learn about preaching is you learn that sometimes you preach more out of your experience than out of your head knowledge. Someone has said a message prepared in the head reaches a head, a message prepared in the heart reaches a heart, message prepared in the life will reach a life. So here's what I'd like to do this morning. I'd like to preach a sermon where it's not based just on what I know, information, it's and I'm going to use bad English, it's where I'm at. Everybody in this room is at someplace. And you're at a place in your life, and probably where you are is probably not much different from others that are here. And what I want to do this morning is actually talk to you about how God has prepared a way for us to deal with life's anxieties, life's worries. Philippians chapter 4, the passage is really centered around the theme of peace. And peace is more than the end of conflict. It's a wellness. When people ask you, how are you doing? You say, fine. What you're really saying is that there's a peace in your life. The Hebrew word is the word shalom. So if you were to walk the streets of Israel and say to someone, hello, you don't say hello, you say shalom. And response back is something like shalom, shalom. It means I'm fine, everything's good. And so the concept of the word peace is like being healthy as opposed to being sick. It's real easy for us to get unhealthy in our souls, to lack peace, to lack a wholeness in our life. We have a drug epidemic in our world today because people have unhealthy souls, and so they take the drugs to deal with the inner turmoil of their heart. And I am so thankful that God has given us a way to deal with those times in our life when we lack peace, when there is trouble, when there's worry, when there is anxieties. This week I've received a lot of emails from students who are facing all kinds of issues where they're struggling with peace in their life. Things like sickness and all that goes with that. Probably personal frustrations over stuff. You know, it may be you're just frustrated being here. How many of you get frustrated being here? Raise your hand, okay? All right, I got two hands up. Maybe you're in a state right now where you're confused about things. You're not sure which way to go. Maybe in your family you've experienced a sorrowful death. Maybe you've got problems back home in your family. Maybe you're living with, in some cases, personal guilt or something you've done in the past and you still think about it all the time. Maybe something's on your conscience that troubles you and bothers you. And so these are all based on letters that I've actually received in the last week that have to do with these areas. So that's what I think we need to talk about. I think that's where most of us are at. And the absence of peace is generally caused by some kind of circumstance or event that comes into our life and it disrupts things. And so these are peace disruptors or peace interrupters in our life. And Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 is like the perfect pill to take. When you are dealing with these kinds of burdens and worries and anxieties, and all of us have to learn how to access that. So let's look at it this morning. It's just really three very simple points. I'm going to use some illustrations, hopefully that will help us to understand it better. But let's look at Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. I'll just read it. It says, be careful or be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. All right? Three very simple points. First point is this, and that is the problem that we face. What is it? He says, be careful or be anxious for nothing. What is the commandment? The commandment is to not worry about anything. Now, when you read that verse, it's like, have you ever read a verse and go, really? Or, yeah, right? Or is that really what it means? It can't mean that because, man, I worry all the time. The Bible says that we are to worry about nothing. So what does it mean then to be careful, or it means to be anxious? It means to be constantly concerned or worried about something that is based on either the possibility of a danger or a misfortune. It is being concerned about something based on the reality or perhaps the recognition of something that could happen. It's living with a fairly negative attitude about the future. Somebody said a pessimist is somebody who daydreams of a nightmare. There are a lot of people that are like that. That they conjure up in their mind either based on reality or maybe perhaps a perception, and they constantly find themselves being emotionally affected by that. And in particular, these are things that become a constant source of mental and emotional preoccupation. In other words, it's what you think about. It's a pressure, and here's the point I want to make, that draws your attention away from the place of peace. And where is that place? Where is it that we can constantly experience peace? And there's only one place, and that is in God's presence. Okay, let me see if I can illustrate it this way. I asked two of our finer from the student body to come. So Stephen and Derek, y'all come on out. These are the two cello guys. I get to travel with these guys on the weekend, so I'm going to have them. I'm going to use them this morning as illustration. Let's see, Derek, you're right place. Stephen, stand right there. I want to make sure that they can see you on the iMag. There you go. All right, there you go. Perfect. Derek, you stand right there. No, we'll get you right there. Okay, all right. So, Stephen is going to represent the Lord, okay? Not a good representation, but he's going to represent the Lord, okay? Derek is going to represent a distraction, a problem, a pressure, an irritation, a frustration. You understand what I'm saying, okay? Very good illustration. Okay, so what is God's goal for your life? It is to live in His presence. That's what God's goal is. And to fellowship with Him, because in His presence is peace and joy and blessing, and you want to live in His presence and love Him and walk with Him. But unfortunately, you bug off, man. Get out of my face. Come on, man, leave me alone. So I'm just trying to spend time with God. How many of you feel like there are all kinds of distractions in your life that really sort of draw you away from the Lord, okay? So you want to spend time with God, but they're just very so persistent. And so all of a sudden, you were fellowshipping with God, and before you know it, you're now fellowshipping with this thing. And suddenly you're thinking about your problem and your pressure and how this thing captures your thinking. And all of a sudden, before you know it, you turn around and you think, man, how did I get from there to here? Now, anybody here ever experienced that? Sure. Well, what's happened? Well, you've experienced what Philippians says. You have become careful for something. You have become anxious. You have become distracted. What are the things that we worry about? Y'all stay right there, don't go anywhere. What are the things we worry about? You know what? We all worry about the same stuff. In fact, as Jesus already told us what we worry about. Let me read to you Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. He says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into the barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add one single hour to the span of his life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't toil, they don't spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, the heathen. And your heavenly Father knows what you have need of. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. What do we worry about? Physical life, how long we're going to live? Food, clothing, the future? I mean, let's be honest, that has to do with money. What am I going to do when I graduate? Where am I going to go? What's going to happen to me? In other words, we worry about the same things everybody worries about. And he says, that's what all the heathen worry about. But you're different. Because you have a Heavenly Father that loves you. You have a Heavenly Father that's going to take care of you. If he's going to take care of birds, if he's going to take care of flowers, what about you? So what are you to do? You're to seek first the kingdom of God. You're to live in God's presence. You're to walk with God. That doesn't mean you don't deal with life's issues, but he tells us how to deal with life's issues. Will I survive? Will I get a job? Will I have enough money? Can I make it? What am I going to do? Will I ever get married? Is everyone going to be safe? How do I handle this problem? Will I succeed? What's going to happen? And suddenly, those things become the forefront in your mind, and this is where you're fellowshipping. And it's not that you don't know God is there, it's just you're not there. This is where most of your mind is. And that's what Paul's dealing with. So, what are we supposed to do? How do we handle this? We'll go back and look at Philippians 4:6. Notice he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. What is God's cure for anxious care? Summed up in one word, what is it? Say it. Prayer. Say it. Yeah. He said, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Make known to God your requests. Why do I need to let God know? He knows everything. The problem is not God, the problem is you. Because the problem is you're over here and you're not here. And so therefore, what am I to do? I'm to bring those very things that I am thinking about, and I am to bring them to God. And this is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, and we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask. We know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. That word petition is the idea of the word request. Tell God what you're worried about. Just tell God, God, I'm worried. I'm worried about money. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about my grades. You're to give those things to God. And notice Paul uses three nouns to describe what prayer is like. He says, first of all, in everything by prayer. What is prayer? It's the way I approach God. It's a general term for prayer. It's the idea of coming to God with worship and humility and reverence and respect and devotion and dependence. God, I am coming to you. And then notice the second word, in everything by prayer and supplication. Supplication is a little more specific in nature. It's asking God to supply what's needed. Asking him to supply what's needed. And then notice number three, he says, with thanksgiving. You're to add thanksgiving to prayer like you add salt and pepper to steak, or ketchup to French fries, or ice cream to cake and cookies. You're to bring to God not only your requests, but you are to bring to God your thanksgiving. Why is it so important that you learn to be thankful? Because you know what? For most of us, if we didn't have worries, we wouldn't pray. If we had a trouble-free life, we would have a prayer-free life. We pray better when we're in trouble. We always pray better when we're in trouble. So it's important to be thankful. Because in being thankful, I'm expressing to God that I need him. I'm dependent upon him. And God, you're using this to get me close to you. You see, the real issue is not him. The real issue is him. And God is using him to get you here. But if you didn't have this guy in your life, you would never be close to the Lord. And not only are we to be thankful for the very problems we have. When's the last time you thanked God for your pressures? Lord, thank you for calculus. Lord, I thank you for that person that so irritates me. Thank you, Lord. Because you know what, Lord? I know you're using that in my life to be thankful. Salt and pepper prayer with thanksgiving, because those are the very things God is using you to get you on your knees. We pray all the time. Let me tell you something. The people that are under the biggest pressure that I know here at Bob Jones University are not students. It's oftentimes the people that work here. It's the burdens that they carry. And yet they're constantly manifesting a spirit of thanksgiving. Why? Because they're learning to depend on God. But not only thankful for the burden, the problem, but thankful for God who's in control. Because thanksgiving says, Lord, I do believe you're in control. I'm not coming to you mad and irritated at you. I'm coming to you humble and submissive. When you're miserable, disrupted, confused, you're in turmoil, you're thrown upside down, you're in the dark, you don't know what to do. When your thoughts are consumed with the unknown, then you're to be thankful in your place to pray. That's what you're supposed to do. You say, okay, I got that. But it just doesn't seem to work. I pray and pray and pray, and it seems like the more I pray, the more I worry. Maybe you're like this. Pull on me. Okay, so you say, Lord, help me, Lord. I got a problem, Lord, help me. I got a problem. It's a big one, Lord, help me. I need help. Wait a minute. You're missing one other point. Because that word care is used in another place in the Bible, 1 Peter 5:7. And it says, do you know the verse? It says, casting all your what? Say it. Care. Casting all your care upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to do something else. You're supposed to cast. You ever gone fishing where you cast out the lure? You know what God wants you to do? He wants you to say, come here. You take care of him. Can you take care of him? All right, get him out of here. All right, thank you. Wow, that was heavy. He's not heavy, he's my brother. Okay, thank you. Cast your cares upon him. Throw them on. Pray yourself back to peace, where you are not holding on or letting it hold on to you, but you're casting it on the Lord. So we have the problem, we have the prayer, and then finally notice the last thing. Let's look at verse 7. He talks about the peace. It says, God gives you something. Notice what he says. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God gives you something that you need. What is that? It's not necessarily the removal of the pressure, because the only way for most of us to be removed from pressure is to die. I mean, let's be honest. Lord, I want all my pressures to go away. Okay, you die. It's not going to happen. It's not going to go away. Sure, you're going to have days of peace more than other days, but you're not going to go. Life's not that. It doesn't work that way. But what does he give you? He gives you something better. He gives you his peace. And notice what he says about this peace. He says it's divine peace. And the peace of God, it's a divine invasion of your heart. God's peace enters in and pushes out anxiety. I don't think Paul sees a situation here where the circumstances necessarily are changed or the external needs are met. In other words, the problems don't go away, but your anxious heart is changed and filled with God's presence. You see, the real issue is here. The real issue is staying in his presence, and that's what prayer does, and that's what peace is. It's God's peace. I'm living in his presence. But not only is it a divine peace, but it's a transcendent peace. It's a peace that passes all understanding. What does that mean? It's a peace that is far beyond, excels, and transcends the power of the pressure and the problem that's in your life. You know, sometimes when we pray, we have a tendency to look for an answer. God, show me why. You know, like, why am I going through this? But what if we got an answer and we didn't like it? What are you going to do with that? What's really more important is that you have peace. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to always know why. You don't have to feel like everything is under control. You don't have to comprehend everything in the midst of chaos. You don't have to know everything to be at peace. Sometimes it cannot be explained. Sometimes explanations don't really help. But what is most appropriate and what meets the need of the heart is to be at a peace of shalom, a peace of wholeness, a peace of wellness, a peace where God is in control and I'm resting in that. And then one last thing he says about this peace, and this is so awesome. And that is, it's a protective peace. It shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. That word keep there means to guard. It's like a military term. It's a military term. It's like a sentry who's standing his post and he's guarding there with his rifle. It's implying that peace stands on duty to keep out anything that brings care and anxiety. It protects, the idea is it protects your emotions and your thoughts. It keeps your hearts and your mind. Where do we struggle? We struggle on the inside, the emotions. It protects you from anxiety, despair, and depression, from fear and temptations. It guards the door of your heart, and it doesn't let anxiety come in. And the whole point of prayer is that when I pray, it puts me back into His presence. And in His presence, there's a peace that is beyond understanding. It's a peace that guards my heart and mind, and it keeps me. And I stay close to Him. You know, this is something you guys really need to learn. Because most of us spend way too much time over here and not enough time over here. And that's why we're disrupted within our own emotions. Take Philippians 4, 6, and 7 and take it as the best pill you can ever swallow. Father, thank You for Your word. Please give grace to our student body to not live a life without pressure and problems, but to live a life that is filled with peace that comes only from Your presence. Lord, I pray for every young lady and every young man in this room who carries secret worries and fears and burdens and pressures and anxieties, and help them, Lord, to know Your peace that is so much better than just knowledge. It is a peace of heart. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
You've been listening to The Daily Platform. I'm Steve Pettit, president of Bob Jones University, and I invite you to join us at our beautiful campus in Greenville, South Carolina, to see how you can be prepared academically and spiritually to serve the Lord through one of our more than 100 undergraduate and graduate programs. For more information about Bob Jones University, visit www.bju.edu or call 800-252-6363.